Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
2020, as Pastor Terry was talking about, is a year for vision when it's 2020, naturally. But, you know, and the difference from sin and vision, he stated so correctly, but there's one last step, and that's reality of your vision. Your vision has to have a reality thing. In other words, it has to be something that is burning inside of you. You can see things, and like we was talking about, you can see things, but yet that's all you're doing is just seeing things. And then you have a vision, but that vision has to be something that is burning inside you to be able to do, right? Because your vision is meant for you to have the reality of it. And we have to pursue the reality of the vision that we have. If you have a vision for a new house, what must you do? You must do things that is going to get you to the fulfillment, the reality of the vision that you have for a new home, car, or anything else. And so we have to be activated. I want you to tell somebody beside you, say, you have to activate your vision. We have to be a people that are taking an action. That's what, you remember, it's what Daniel said, they that know their God, and that's the qualifier. They that know their God. Everybody say, they that know their God.
They know their God.
What's the rest of it? Well, what? We'll do great exploits. They will take action. One translation said, they that know their God will take action. So your action that you take is because you know who he is. Right? How many of you have ever seen things but you didn't take action and realize that you missed an opportunity? He was drawing back the curtain for you to see something, but yet you didn't take action on it because of whatever. Maybe it was just because you felt like you were too busy. And that's the enemy's ploy. One of the enemy's ploy is to keep you and I so busy that it wears us out from doing what it is that the simple things or the meaningful things that God wants us to do is either put aside or we just don't have the energy to do it. So we have to make sure that we're not overactivated with things and overactivated with things to do. Always ask the Lord, are you in this? Is this what you want me to do? And if I would do that more often, it would save me a lot more trouble. It really was. I remember a lot of things in my life that I never asked God about, and I realized a little bit later that this thing really worked me hard, you know, and I realized that God, the effort of God wasn't in it. It was the effort of man. But he wants us to be able to see. He wants us to be able to have the vision. He wants us to be able to activate the vision, to be able to fulfill it to reality. Because the vision is no good until it becomes reality. It's only something that you're hoping for, but you gotta have faith to do it. That makes sense. You're gonna have to have faith to do it. I want you to understand we're gonna go in. It's probably gonna be the last of the series of God calling his people in the midst of chaos. And here's a question I want to ask you. How deep, how many of you have the life of God inside you? Wave at me. You have the life of God inside you. It's about everybody, I guess. Here's the next question. How deep does that life go in who you are? How deep does it go? How much your spirit is complete? It's completely saved and it's settled, and you're sitting seated. I should say you're seated in the heavenlies with him, and our soul needs to be heavily influenced by our spirit. So how much of our soul is actually activating in that life, doing in that life that he's given? See, God has, this is the thing that Jesus was talking about when he says, behold, I've come to give you what? Life and life abundantly. See, it just it's occurred to me over a few years, not many, many years, but just maybe a couple of years, that this abundant life is the life that penetrates your soul to its very core. In other words, this life, when it's in its abundance that he's given you, when you allow it, because that's how he's given it. He's given it abundantly. And when you allow the abundant life, that goes to your soul to overflow. He said, well, my cup runneth over. You know, so in his being, and it's because life is beginning to impact every part of living. His life impacting every part of living. In other words, we don't live in compartments. His life is complete. His life is all covering. His life is full. And he said, now I'll give you life. In other words, you're able to live. But I've also given you living that is in complete abundance. For every thought, every feeling, and every decision. Every thought, every feeling, and every decision. My life is abundant in every one of those areas. I don't know who that's for. It wasn't part of the message, but I don't know who that's for. But it's really something that we need to take life and this life that he's given us, and we need to live it in every part of every area of our life, because he's there, and he wants us to be able to stay conscious of who he is, where we are, and then live from that consciousness. How many of you right now are conscious? Well, that's just a few of you. I mean, I don't know what happened to the rest, but that's just a few of you. But okay, here we go. We're going to be talking about the call of. We're going to be reviewing some, but we're going to give you some new stuff as well. But this thing about chaos, it's a state of confusion, it's disorder, dismay, lawlessness, anarchy, and disharmony. We have a lot of that going on. And I'm telling you, God is calling. God is calling his church. God is calling his people. God is actively calling his people. Say, that's me. Actively calling his people to respond to his drawing and respond to his purpose that he has for you. And we've got to be able to arise and take that call seriously and be able to do the things. So I'm going to be giving you some principles from the scriptures that we've been talking about. So it will actually be action that we can actually do. So wait a minute, I heard the message, I heard this, I heard that, and I know God's calling, but how do we do that? You know, so we're going to be talking about a little bit from that. You remember when we talked about Caleb? I won't go through all of this. Talked about Caleb. He said in Numbers 13, he said this, Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, see, this is when they all went out to spy out the land. The promised land. If I say the promised land, I mean, you know, this is not just a land. This is the promised land. And who promised it? God. You know, so we always have to know who made the promise. You know, if he made the promise, he'll keep it. A lot of times promises are broken, but he'll never break one. But he said, he quieted the people and he said, we should by all means go up. We should by all means go up and take possession of this land, for we shall surely overcome it. You hear the confidence that was in Caleb? And the reason Caleb was that way is because the Lord said, you know, the reason he's going to be able to go into his land is because he is of a different spirit than the rest of the people, other than Joshua. Why was he of a different spirit? Because all the other spies that went with him, what did they say other than Joshua? What did they say? Oh, man, there are grapes over there that it takes two men to tote. Carry, for anybody that's not in the South, you know, it takes two men to tote. So these grapes are huge. And they see all the fruitfulness of it. But they came back, but they realized what? They realized that on the physical side, we're like grasshoppers. Not in Caleb's eyes. Not in Caleb's eyes. Why? Because in Caleb's eyes, it's full. It's for us to take. Why? Because he was of a different spirit. You and I have to be of a different spirit. We cannot carry the spirit of this world and accomplish the things of God. You will not be able to carry the spirit of the world and accomplish the things of God, or actually enter into the destiny that he has for you. So we begin to see that we have to measure your circumstance next to God's word. Now, you know, a lot of people will say, okay, here's a circumstance. Let me measure this circumstance, you know, or let me measure God's word and see if it's going to fit this circumstance. That's the wrong thing. Take the circumstance and you take the Bible. You take God's word and you measure it by the word of God. Because the world's going to be saying, what about it? You're never going to make it. It's all over. It's done for. America's done for. America's not done for. Amen. It can be, but I choose to believe not. Why? Amen. But God. God can turn it around just like that. Can he? Okay. So we have to view these things according to God's word. We have to define the problem. Principle number two is we have to define the problem with God's nature and character in view. He didn't say don't acknowledge the problem, but you have to define the problem with God's nature and his character in view. Okay, with his nature and character in view of this, how can I define what this is? I can define this as being defeated or overtaken or overcome according to his nature and his character. Right? So we have to so principle number two is define the problem. He didn't say ignore the problem. He didn't even say just act like it doesn't exist. That's denial. So you begin to see that we have to define. Here's a principle. Define the problem with God's nature. Do you know the nature of God? And do you know the character of God? And so when you begin to sort out everything and look at everything through this lens of who God is, then everything else becomes very small. Because when you lean upon the greatness of who he is and the greatness of him being inside us. Amen? All right, the other thing is declare God's word with confidence even when others don't see it or they fight against it. See, with the other spies that went out, here was their response. We're not able to go up against these people. They are too strong for us. You see the difference? Caleb said, let's go get it. Well, we will surely overtake it. The other guys over here saying, we can't go up against those. We can't go up against this. This is way too big for us. Way too big. They saw it like it was grasshoppers. Caleb said, matter of fact, a little bit later, he said, I want my mountain. God has promised me a mountain, and I want it. Amen. I want what God promised me. And he took a stand to be able to get it. He took a stand to be able to, he saw the vision, but he took action to be able to take it. And that's what we must do. That's what we have to do as God's people. See, the whole world, outside those doors, they're waiting for you and I not to be able to tell them, but to be able to show them. They're waiting for a people that's going to know their God and take action. What does that mean? That means when God says don't, and they say do, even though they may cause you a lot of difficulties in the process because you don't. Amen? All right, so that's what we learned about Caleb. Then we go on and we talk about Moses. We talked about Moses over in Exodus 6, 28. You can write these down. I hope you're taking notes, but you can write all these down and go back and look at these on your own and restudy some of these. But you begin to see what's happening with Moses, you know, when he goes up before God's people. God begins to call him. He says, I'm calling you out of this place that you're in, and I'm taking you somewhere that you don't know anything about. Here's what I want you to go do. My people suffer, and I'm going to send you as the deliverer. You know, his response was this over in verse 28 of chapter 6. He goes on and says, the Lord says, I am the Lord. I'm going to send you here. You're going to speak to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and you're going to speak everything that I tell you. But Moses said before the Lord, behold, I am unskilled. How many of you feel unskilled to do some of the things that God's asking you to do? If you don't raise your hand, you don't know God. I mean, because, you know, he always giving you something bigger than you, bigger than me, bigger than us to be able to do. It's always bigger. Why does he do that? Why don't he give us something to, hey, we got this. We don't need you right now. That's the very reason he don't give it to you. He gives you something that is much bigger because he wants you to rely upon him. Just voice. He wants you to rely upon him and make sure that you lean upon him. So you see this thing of Moses saying, look, I can't handle this. I'm unskilled. And matter of fact, he's got in the back of his mind, I murdered somebody over in Egypt, covered the body. But they found out about it. Matter of fact, I was fearful and I ran. So there's a lot of things going on in Moses' past that he can lean upon and he can get back and really grab hold of and say, I can't do this. This is too big. Why? Because look at the marks that I've made in my life. Every one of us has made marks. Every one of us has had problems with our situations and not handled it right, either by voice, by action, or by attitude. You know, behavior, some type. We have all made mistakes. But see, the enemy waves those mistakes. He begins to let that be the flagship of who you are. Look what you did. Look what you did a few years ago. Look what you did yesterday. Look what you did. Look how you treated. Look. And that's all he wants to do is get your attention and focus upon who you used to be. So we have to understand that your past does not define your future destiny. Amen. So that's a principle you and I need to learn. It does not, you know, what I did does not define who I am today, nor where I'm going. Amen. And I've told you and I've told many people, said, if I had been God, I would not have picked me. I know me. I would not have picked me. I would not have picked me to pastor people. I would not have picked me to do what I'm doing today. I wouldn't have picked me. But see, God sees way deeper than how we see things. But when we do catch the glimpse and catch the glimpse and catch the vision of what God's doing in your life, then you start pursuing what God said and not what you used to do. See, that's the new creation. That's the new creature. That's the new change. Now, I'm going to say something here. If you have not had that change, you are not born again. If it's business as usual after going to church, if it's business as usual after the gospel, if there's no change inside you, you're not a new creature. You're not born again. And that can be an act of just religion. Somebody patting you on the back saying, oh, you know, you're a good guy. You're a good girl. You're going to be fine. But nope. Jesus says you must be born again to be able to experience the things that he is. Amen. So we look at Moses and we see, oh, I've got to understand that my past does not define what I've done, and even my own ability. Moses said, I'm not able to speak. My speech is ungifted. It's not there. It's not good. I stutter. How in the world am I going to talk when I have this unskilled way of talking? You know, that's a small matter to God. Very small. He's just looking for somebody willing. Because his ability goes way beyond our inability. Our inability is small compared to God. You know, but the enemy will always want you to focus upon what you're incapable of doing. And if we wrap ourselves around that, we will become frozen. We will become a people that have stalled out with the activation of a vision. How many of you have ever had dreams and you haven't seen them yet, haven't seen them, those things come? See, you can either throw that dream away or just discontinue the thought of the dream that you had. Or you can say, wait a minute, God, let me look at this dream through what you're saying about me. No, it may not have happened yet. No, it may not be coming to pass tomorrow. But what are you going to do with it until it does? What are you going to do with the promises of God until they're fulfilled? Walk by faith, not by sight. See, our faith walk is something that comes from within. When you have the faith, works come from it. When we start working to attain the faith, that's legalism. But when we have the faith and we start working from that faith that's in us, that's the works. If you have the faith within you and do not have works, he said that faith is dead. That faith is no good to you. That faith has no life. See, faith that is unactivated has no life. It has to have steps. It has to have actions. Visions have to have steps and has to have actions to be able to face, to be able to bring it to reality. God loves reality. He really does. And he wants you to have the faith in what he said long before it ever gets here. Why? Because we walk by faith. We walk in a trust. But we have to understand that our past is not connected to what we're doing. Now, we may have learned some things from our past, but it's not dictating about our future and our destiny. God's doing that. You don't reach your destiny unless you know how, and this is Moses, for Moses, know how to stand in his presence. You will not reach your destiny unless you know how to stand in his presence. The presence of God. You want to reach your destiny? You know, you're going to have to know how to stand in God. Ephesians tells us that everything you've done everything you can to make this thing work. Having done everything, I want you to stand. And then he goes on and says, put on the helmet, put on your breastplate, put on your belt, put on your shoes. See, he starts, why? What's he saying? Stand in him. It's not your armor. It's the armor of God. Stand in the assurance that you're his. Stand in the assurance that you're the righteousness of God because he made you the righteousness. See, we stand in the assurance of that. I don't know any action steps. Well, then you just stand. You take a stand. Unless you're able to stand in his presence, you will not be able to reach the destiny that you need to go to. We have to learn that. Amen? We have to learn how to do that. Then we go back and we say, see yourself as God sees you. Moses saw himself one way, and then God introduced another way of looking at him. Has God ever shown you a new view of you? He has me. Matter of fact, he shows me a new view of me quite often sometimes. This is what I see you can do. Somebody told me, said, you know, you're still trying to get the pastors to come together and meet in the community, aren't you? And pray in the community. I said, yeah. And this person said, when are you going to stop beating that drum? Now, in my mind, I'm thinking, I have been beating that drum for quite a while. Why? When am I going to stop beating that drum? And then the reality hits me, and he said, well, it's God's drum, and I'm his little drummer boy. As long as he tells me to beat this drum, I'm going to beat this drum. When God says lay it down, I'll lay it down. Why is that? Because I had a new perspective. I didn't come up with this thing, hey, we need to pray. God came up with that. We need to get together. We need to pray together as leaders, because the leaders of this community need to be praying in unity. Where are we headed? Where are we going? See, we've had glimpses of what God wants to do, and yet we run into, listen, I'm telling you the truth. We've had highs and lows and highs and lows in this thing about community prayer, even with the pastors. But we'll reach some highs, and all of a sudden we'll hit something. And what we'll hit is the resistance from the enemy. Everything was going good until here. Why is that? I can tell you why. In that group, something's got to change to be able to go higher than you currently are. And when you don't want to change, we're just fine right where we are. Well, then that plateau, that level is the plateau that we're going to go to and not any further. Why? Because he's calling us out of the midst of chaos to go further than we've ever gone before, which means we're going to have to change. Somebody tell me amen. Okay, I needed that. I really needed that. I was struggling a little bit. Okay, here's the next one. He said, then learn to arise to the task. Arise up. You're going to have to get up from where you currently are in your life and do something different. You're going to do this thing of living your life in God in a different way, because that's what he's calling us to do. So we need to be able to arise, and then we need to be able to speak the word of God. That's what Moses did. Moses went before Pharaoh, and what did Moses tell him? Let my people go. And who told him to say that? God. See, Moses didn't say, these are my people. No, he said, great I am. Let my people go. God said, let his people go. You know, and we talked a little bit about he sends you over there, and then he plugs the ears of Pharaoh so Pharaoh don't hear him, and God sent him. You know, we talked to you a little bit about that those 10 plagues hit those 10 false gods that Egypt had. See, God in his wisdom knows he's wanting to free the Egyptians. He's wanting to free the Egyptians just as much as he's wanting to free his people, because he starts hitting the gods that they have and proving that he is the God of all gods. He is the Lord of all lords. So he's wanting to see them free as well. God is a merciful God. He truly, truly is. Speak the word of God. Know that opposition will come. When you start up the mountain of your vision and you don't see the top, if you don't see the top, you're going to stop wherever the strongest, where the smallest amount of resistance is. But that's all you see. You remember that thing, a story I've told several, two or three times in this house about the monk, and the young lad was wanting to be taught by the monk out in the desert, and there was a dog, there was a white dog that started chasing a rabbit. I saw a rabbit, and he ran off the porch and started chasing that rabbit. Oh, just a yipping. And then some other dogs joined in, and they were four, five, six dogs just jumped in, and they just watched it. And then one by one, each one of those dogs started just dropping off, coming back on the porch and just laying down, or going back under the shade tree and laying down. And finally, there's only one dog. There's only one dog left chasing that rabbit. The young man looks at the monk, and he says, I need to know something. There was about six dogs following, chasing that rabbit. But now there's only one. Why is that? The one chasing him is the only one that saw the rabbit. The rest of them was just running to be running. The rest of them had no vision of why are we running. The rest of them had no vision of what are we after. They were just going through the motions. They was going through this little system. But when you see the rabbit, you'll run when everybody else drops out. True? When you see that what God's showing you, you may be the only one carrying that. But you won't stop. Why? Because you've seen the other side of it. That's what Jesus, that's propelled Jesus beyond the cross. How he endured the cross. Why? Because he saw beyond the cross. And it was for that joy of what he saw that he endured all the suffering that he went through. Why? You know who he saw? He saw Billy. He saw Amy. He saw Martha. He saw you. He saw you beyond all that hardship and all that blood and all that death. He saw you beyond it. And for that joy, he said, I'll endure this. When you see it, when you see what God has for you in the future, when you see what God has for you right around the corner, You won't stop. Even though opposition comes, you'll still keep going. And when opposition does come, you'll look for God to reveal his power through you. Well, okay, opposition's here. I'm not going to be able to break that opposition, but he can. So we'll just wait and see what he does. Have you ever been talking to somebody and that's, I'm not going to do that? Have you ever been talking with, I mean, it can be anybody. I'm not going to do that. And you just already know that they're not going to do it because I've already said they're not going to do it. You just have to wait. Next thing you know, what happens? They're coming to you and say, oh, how do you do this? Why is that? God knows how to turn things, and he'll turn it through you. But somebody's got to take this stand. We can't be people that we're gonna try this. Oh, opposition. Well, I better sit down. Oh, there goes some more. Here comes some more opposition. I ain't gonna get involved in it. Oh, here comes some more. Nah, it ain't worth it. Why? You lose the very thing that you're chasing. You lose sight of it. But see, Moses didn't. Moses saw sight. He kept sight of what God had told him he was going to do. And by the way, you're going to deliver people. The God inside you is sending you to bring deliverance to people. That's true. His signs and wonders will follow you. We don't follow them. They follow you. Got a lot to say about that, but I don't have the time. Signs and wonders will follow you. In other words, you trust God enough that he'll do all this work. And he'll do the miracles. I had somebody tell me one time, said, well, I've never brought healing to anybody. And I said, well, has God brought healing to anybody through you? No. And I said, well, did you make yourself available for God to do it through you? What do you mean? I said, have you ever laid hands on the sick? Watch this. No. Well, lay hands on the sick. That's what he said. He's looking for people just to simply obey the smallest word that he gives you. The enemy says, what if it doesn't happen? You're really going to look a fool. You're really going to look, you're not going to look too spiritual. I prayed for a good friend of mine's dog one time. He said, Terry, would you pray for my dog? And I said, sure, I will. I prayed for his dog. 2 days, it died. You know what my good friend said? Don't get Terry to pray for your dog. Really? You know, I walked around with that complex. I said, don't get Terry. I said, why are you telling people? Why are you telling people? He said, will you pray for my dog? And the dog died. I said, was it sick? He said, yeah. And I said, well, it died from sickness. But see, it worked. Really, I'm telling you, it worked on me for a while. Right. In the back of my mind, I said, But God straightened me out. He gave me a new position of who he is. Listen. He said, are you going to take credit if the dog was healed? Right. Wow. Well, no. He said, well, then don't take the blame when he's not healed. So it's in life. And that's what you and I have to, we have to step out and lay hands on people that are sick. That's what he said to do. Step out of the chaos that's going on and just lay hands on, be healed in Jesus' name. Amen. Who's the healing lift up to? God. But who's he wanting to work through? Us. Okay, what's next? It's David. Y'all remember David? We talked about David last week. Enlarge your worship when you're alone. Enlarge your worship when you're alone. Stand in a position to protect the innocent. If you don't have that position, find it. And protect the innocent. Amen. Amen. There's a lot of innocent babies that needs people to protect them. Do you hear me? They need to hear voices crying out, you know, about abortion. Why is that? Because God says, choose life. I've set before you life and death, and I want you to choose life. God said, I knew you before you was ever born. Before you was ever in your mother's womb. And then while you're in your mother's womb, you are glorious, wonderfully and gloriously made. Well, God sees you as a human being. Not as a thing, as a human being. Do you know that Planned Parenthood this past November, admitted that they were selling baby parts? Baby tissues, baby parts. They've been denying it all these years. I really did like what this is part about, you know, well, how am I going to protect the innocent? That's how. Here's one. Listen to this. Ronald Reagan said this. I've noticed that everyone who is for abortion has already been born. It's true. Mother Teresa said, it is a poverty to decide that a child must die so that you can live as you wish. But there's so many people in favor of it. It might cost me. It will cost you. Because that's the opposition. You remember, anyway, he's looking for somebody. God's looking for somebody. He says, stand up. Listen, people say, well, that's not my belief. Well, I said, well, you need to believe this. See, there's all kind of things that's been built up and raised up by man that doesn't look like what God said. Marriage can be between anybody, not according to God. It's man and woman, one man, one woman. You need to advance to the 21st century. I'm already here, and I'm not going away. Develop a servant's heart. Learn how to serve people. An entitlement spirit won't let you do that. But learn how to have a servant's heart. Be faithful in the small things that God's given you. If you want to see the bigger things, be faithful in the little. Everybody wanted to be the giant killer, but they never saw David as a worshiper and a servant and one who protected the innocent. And that got him to the place of being a giant killer. We go on and we say honor and submit to authority. Honor is leaving this society. That should not be with the church. We should know how to honor people, even when we disagree with them. Be humble and serve others. Learn to rid yourself of negativity. That's a good one. Rid yourself of negativity. How negative are you versus how positive are you? How often do you see the good versus how often do you see the negative? And do you exploit the negative? Do you raise up the negative because it's so negative? Or do you raise up the positive? Or do you raise up the purpose? See, we can be so negative that everything we talk about has negativity in it. And God wants us to get rid of that. Give testimony of God's provision in your life. Remember that God's power is stronger than any opposition. No matter how strong the opposition is, God's power is bigger. You know that part that says, greater is he that is in me than he who is in the world? Do you know what he's talking about? Do you know what that verse is stuck in the middle of, what they're talking about? He's talking about the Antichrist spirit. The spirit of Antichrist. And right in the middle of that spiritual war, right in the middle of it, he says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. What's he saying? When you start going up against an Antichrist spirit, you need to understand, I'm greater. They may bring a lot of pressure, but I'm greater. Are you learning anything? Reassure others of God's power and ability. Take what you have tested into battle. They wanted David to put on Saul's armor. Matter of fact, Saul put it on him, and he was like this. And he says, I can't go out there with this. I have not tested this. What had he tested? Sling, rocks, and a stick. Take what you've tested. Yeah, but it looks so little. With God, it doesn't matter. You know about this rock. You know about this. You know about what you've used before, and it worked. Take it with you to battle. And understand that the battle is the Lord's. When you learn to run to serve, you will then know how to run to battle. A lot of people are not running to battle because they're afraid of it. You know why? They haven't learned to serve. When you learn to serve, you'll learn to run to battle. When you're actively going, in other words, you're going to serve. You're going to run to the service. You're going to run. I'm not talking about a worship service. I'm talking about you're going to run to serving others. Be activated. When you do that, that's what David did. David ran to take the bread and the cheese. He ran to take the bread and the cheese. And because he ran to serve, he ran to the enemy. It's a positioning. It really is. Declare God's name as you stand in who he is. You're able to declare who he is as you stand in who he is. You got to declare his name. That's what David did. We need to learn that we are not seeking his presence. We are hosting his presence. He's in you. What is the next thing here? Develop a majestic mindset. He is supreme. He is almighty. There's no one greater. He's the God of all gods, the Lord of all lords, the King of all kings. That's a majestic mindset. And we need to have that. We need to be able to enter into, it's your place of promise. Enter into your place of promise. God's given you a promise, and he wants you to go into that place to experience it. To experience that he is the one who can get you out of anything and get you into anything and get you out of anything. David prevailed over his enemy, so will you understand that the battle is the Lord's. Heaven has absolute confidence in God. You're part of heaven on this earth. Don't have an exaggerated consciousness of evil. He's too big. You know, that thing. He's too big to hit. What's the other side of it? He's too big to miss. Go ahead and throw it. It's a perspective thing. He's too big to miss. Sling that rock. All right. If you're in touch with your identity in God and operating in it, that's when you will impact the people around you to see God as he truly is. People are looking. They're looking for God, and they're going to see God as he really is through you when you activate who you are in him. And this last thing about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over in Daniel chapter 3, and this is where we're going to close. We must be a people who have a predetermined response that demonstrates our trust in God. We can't wait until the situation comes before we decide who we're going to be. That decision needs to be made now. That's what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. I'll read it to you in just a second. God is calling you in the midst of chaos. Answer his call to be set apart and to live for an extraordinary purpose. Listen to what, and this, we're closing. Listen to this thing about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and then we'll get out of here. You learning anything? Daniel chapter 3. And you have to understand they're building gods that are false idols, and they're made by man. You have to parallel this with a spiritual thing of what is man making that they want us to worship. Here's what they said. He said, if you will not worship, you will immediately be cast into the midst of a fiery furnace of a blazing fire. And then he says, and what God is there? This is the king. And what God is there who can deliver you out of my hands? If you don't, when the music plays and when the sound of the trumpet starts and you don't bow down, you're going to be thrown into this thing that we've done heated 7 times more than what we normally heat it. And you're done. You're toast. You're out of here. What God's going to be able to deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, listen to this, O Nebuchadnezzar. We do not need to give you an answer. We don't need time to think about this. We don't need to sit down concerning this matter and think about it. I love that. We don't need that. And they go on and say this. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the fire, from the furnace of the blazing fire, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. They were predetermined before anything else happened. They didn't have to go think about it and go meditate on it and see how much it's going to cost them. Their mind was made up beforehand. There's things being created by man. Listen, I'm telling you, there's things that's being created by man. Another way to do marriage. Created by man and wants us, and if we don't do that, all hell is coming out. Because we'll be so angry at you that we'll treat you terrible just because you don't agree. And we say, oh, I don't need time to think about that. I don't have to go meditate on that. I don't have to go think about that. I don't have to go discuss the matter. I've already made my mind up. Now you go ahead and do whatever you want to do, but my God's going to deliver me from whatever you got for me. But I'm not going to worship what you have created.
Yes.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Okay, it's time to close. Whoops. God is calling you in the midst of the chaos that is out there. He wants you to answer his call and to be set apart so that you can live an extraordinary life. You've already lived one, but there's an extraordinary life in front of you that he wants you to live. But he's calling you to get out of where you are and answer the call to go where he's wanting you to go. And all of this stuff, all these principles, if we just capture these things, then we will know our God and we will do great exploits. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Make your mind up beforehand. I remember, and I know Scott's here, he don't like me talking about him. And I remember, you know, when Scott was little and going to school, and I tell him, I said, son, you need to understand something. When you go to school, you're going to have people. You're going to have friends that's going to want you to do drugs, and they're going to want you to do this. They're going to want you to smoke this, and they're going to want you to do that. He said, okay, Daddy. Okay, he's little. I said, okay. He said, okay, Daddy. I said, no, you don't understand. You got to make your mind up now to say no. Don't wait till that moment. Say no now. Say, not going to. Even if you lose a friend, say no now. Not in the midst of the peer pressure. In the midst of peer pressure, it'll be a lot harder to determine what you're going to do. That's the reason we need to determine in our hearts what we're going to do in our walk with God, no matter what it costs us. God is sending out a great army. Matter of fact, it's his army. He's raising up an army here. He's raising up an army in other places. He's raising up an army to be sent out to be able to take a stand and to show forth the glory of who he really is. We will not bend, we will not bow to the gods that they made for us to worship. We already decided that long ago. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you for your word. Thank you for teaching us. Thank you for guiding us. Thank you, God, that we're a people that is in the midst of chaos, but we're being called upon from you. And Lord, we say we answer your call wherever you want us to go, whatever you want us to do. Send us as we walk in your presence, as we walk in your word, as we love God, love people, and make a difference. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.